Welcome to Education Conversations, where we share ideas on education today and explore ways to help students and teachers thrive. Thank you for tuning into this episode, Why Results Matter, where nonprofits get it right, wrong, and everything in between. Today, Jennifer is joined by Robin Fossey, CEO and owner of Results First, an organization that guides nonprofits, foundations, and other organizations to achieve greater success through proven tools and methods. Here at the Education Foundation of Sarasota County, we've known Robin a long time and have worked with her in a variety of ways. Today, she'll share some of her knowledge and expertise on strategies to help nonprofits thrive.
Robin, I am so excited to have you on this podcast. You are an energy giver. You come with passion and purpose, and I have such a deep respect for you as we've had a personal and professional journey for several years, but I want our listeners to get a really good understanding of what drives you, what inspires you, what motivates you. So can you just share a little bit of your backstory with our listeners?
Sure. Well, first of all, do I have to pay extra for that introduction? Nope. That was pretty good.
It was legit and it was very authentic.
Well, and it's how I feel towards you. So thank you very much.
Of course.
So a little bit about me and particularly how it is connected to education here in Sarasota County. Yeah. I grew up in Sarasota County and I am a product of Sarasota County Schools. I am a very proud graduate of New Directions. And so people who have been in the Sarasota area for more than 30 years may be familiar with this school, and it was an alternative school. I always like to tell people when I tell them I'm from Sarasota, they have this vision in their head of what that means to grow up in beautiful Sarasota County. And so I like to share that my parents didn't graduate from high school, and my father died when I was young, and my mother relied on a lot of social services in our community. And then I became a very challenged youth, nice way of saying a juvenile delinquent, which ultimately landed me at an alternative high school, which was the absolute best place for me because of the care of the people who worked at New Directions, and they could see something beyond my current situation and current behavior.
They saw your leadership potential.
They did. And it was actually there that inspired me to even consider going to college to continue my education. So that is something I'd like to share with people. And it's extra special to share it with your audience in the education world in Sarasota and beyond, to always just think about what it means. One size does not fit all in education. And I lived that. And so I'm grateful for the fact that I had New Directions as an option and that I had educators within that school that could see something in me that I didn't even know existed at the time.
It's such a great story, and it certainly shaped you. And I've heard you share that story with others, and you really do walk the walk. I will say that. Do you remember during that time, like feeling somebody believed in you? Do you recall that moment, or was it more after the fact in reflection as you were there and you've kind of now had a successful life and you look back and you're like, you know, it was New Directions?
Yes, both. So while I was there, there were definitely two particular teachers, Keith and Nancy. We only called teachers by first names. I don't think they wanted most of us to know their last names. I people always like look at me a little concerned when I say that, but hey, you know, it is what it is. So Keith and Nancy were two teachers who saw something very different in me. And Nancy took the time to teach me how to use Publisher at the time. And I wrote poetry and I helped write the schools. They had like a little newsletter. And then Keith was someone else who also saw potential in me. And it was between the two of them that someone said, you know, geez, Robin, you really do some stupid things, but you could really and should go to college. And that is where the seed was planted for me to actually even consider college after high school.
I think that's so terrific. You know, I mentioned that we've known each other for a while and everything. And so for our listeners, you actually have a story and a connection back to the Education Foundation. Where did that work lead you to what you're doing today?
Absolutely. So I had the privilege to work at Education Foundation in 2014. I was there just under 2 years. And for the listener, Jennifer was my boss. Okay. She was my boss. Jennifer came in and made a lot of changes that needed to be made. And now you can see the organization's completely transformed in a beautiful way. And with her leadership coming in and me being at a place in my career where I knew I was ready for other leadership, it was a springboard for me to go out and ultimately at that time become the CEO of NeuroChallenge Foundation for Parkinson's. Working at the Education Foundation for me was such a fulfilling full circle moment. When you consider that I graduated from an alternative high school, I wasn't even supposed to graduate. And here I am raising money. I was the development director, raising money for schools in our community. It was something that was so fulfilling to me. And at that time, and I'm sure you remember this, I shared my story with our investors because I wanted them to understand, because so often we only see people in their struggle. You don't always get to see the result of the investment that you made in some of those programs.
So you have always embodied that you stand behind things you believe in. And so what then brought you towards results first? And then just start to maybe peel the onion back about the work that you now are doing.
Sure. The very short story is that I took a class with Hal Williams, who is the creator of the results first methodology. And in that class with Hal, he asked me and the other participants, it was a leadership class, what is it that we achieve? And so my answer was that at NeuroChallenge, we improve the quality of life for people with Parkinson's disease and their caregivers. And in the past year, we had served 2,000 people, which was up from 1,000 people just 2 years prior. And I was really proud of that answer because you don't need a calculator to know that's some significant growth. I was so humbled and proud at the same time to say that I led that growth.
Right.
And he looked me right in the eye and said, "So what?" Now, initially, I thought he didn't hear me, but that wasn't the case. And he said, "So what? You served 2,000 people. Did all 2,000 of those people experience this improved quality of life?" And my answer was, "Well, I'm sure not all 2,000. And he said, "How many did?" That was it.
Mm-hmm.
So I went on a mission to answer the question, answer the so what. The end of it is Hal and I became business partners. Mm. Now in the past year, I've become sole owner of the business. And in November of 2025, I celebrated the 5-year anniversary of the forming of Results First.
Wow.
Yes. And so now I've been doing the work full time for 4.5 years.
Wow.
I know. Time has certainly flown.
It really has.
Flown right on by.
Well, it really has. And I have to say, and for our listeners, one of the reasons why I was so eager to have Robin on this podcast is that, you know, she mentioned I've been leading the Education Foundation for 10 years or, you know, for a while. Still, we're always in this vein of continuous improvement. And your work, your candor in the way in which you kind of parlayed Hal's directness to you is a very big recipe, I think, for your success, because you call a spade a spade. And you did that even for us, because here we sheepishly kind of said, you know, we need to get better at this work. We need to call in the expert. So we call you in to come and do this. And you just like flattened us in a very respectful way, I must say, Robin. But you called it out so well in a similar fashion. It was as eye-opening for me as I think it was for you. How are you seeing other nonprofits respond in the same way? Are they all like you and me, just kind of like, thank you, this is great, let's get better? Are you seeing a lot of denial? Or like, what is the picture that you see in your work now?
This is such a good question. So first of all, I have to say this. I applaud you, Jennifer, for not just bringing me into an organization that was already high functioning. You brought me in because you really wanted to know the so what. So people hire results first. They come to us for one of a few reasons. One is they absolutely have to. Meaning an investor has said, we want to know what your results are. Yes, we believe you're making a difference, but we really need to know out of those 3,000 people you served, how many actually got to a result? How many did you make a difference for? That's one way that business comes to us. Then we have the high performing leaders like you that know that, hey, we could tighten this up, we could strengthen this, and they want to answer the question, so what? For organizations that don't have to, and I'm doing air quotes with have to, they haven't been told if you want to continue to receive our funding, you have to do this. For those organizations, it is a higher calling of really knowing that your organization and your programs are changing someone's lives. And in your case, with the Education Foundation, well, there's other programs similar to it in the community. So if you're a parent and you are trying to figure out, which college preparation or planning program should I focus my child's attention to? Or if you are a teenager who already knows you're going to college and you're figuring out, well, where do I need to spend my time? When you answer the so what, you're answering that question for them. It's not just about, here, we're going to give you a plan. Mm-hmm. It is, here is your plan, and now we're going to help you activate it because that is where the results come from. So what do I see in general? I see a mix of both. One thing I do know is that organizations and nonprofit leaders, they want to know the so what. Here's the barrier. They have no idea sometimes how to go about doing it because evaluation is perceived to be complicated, expensive, and time consuming. And it can be. Let's be honest, it can be. When you look at higher education, when you look at healthcare systems, when you look at the way certain evaluation is done, it could easily take a year, could cost six figures. Well, if you're an organization, especially some of our smaller grassroots organizations that are really changing lives in our community here, when you look at some of these organizations, they don't have the time and the resources and the money for that level of evaluation. So what we have learned is when the program has been offered or when there is an investor that says, hey, we will pay for you to participate in a results first program, the response has been overwhelming. Overwhelming, very humbling. We have several partners in our community that support our work to make this available. So I see both. The thing that I see most frequently, though, are organizations that really want to know the difference they make. They just don't know how to go about doing it.
Okay, so I got to stay on this a little bit longer then. What would you say to those smaller nonprofits right now? How can they engage in your work? Maybe they are with limited resources, limited manpower, limited everything. What is a first step that they could potentially do that helps bring them into this trajectory?
Contact results first. I mean, contact me, reach out to me, and I'm sure that there will be some contact information given here. Contact me. I keep a list of organizations that want to work with us. And then as funding becomes available for programs, I let those organizations know. I recently had the opportunity to work with an organization that had been on my list for 3 years, and I was able to locate funding. I will say that I do work very intentionally towards finding funding for organizations. And I will say this, they have to be ready.
Yes.
And the readiness is, and you may remember this, Jennifer, when you and I first talked about this, the readiness is that you have to be willing to do something different and you have to be willing to do it now.
Indeed. All that to be said, it's a continuous place of change. And it was really not just me, but it was really our staff. Our team was the one that really embraced all of this. It was interesting. Even our volunteers, we had a whole group that came together. So it was a real learning process. And we tapped a lot of different resources that helped us move into this results first mindset, if you will. I hope that's okay if I call it a mindset.
It absolutely is. And I want to just say something else. You made the decision of including your team. You did. You made the decision to include your team. You had board members, like you said, volunteers. Mm-hmm. And one of the things is we insist that the people who do the work are involved. And so you had them at the table. And see, that's also something that I will say proudly differentiates our approach from other approaches is, first of all, you're not hiring us to make a plan. Plans don't predict effectiveness, people do. And action is the key. You can have the best written plan in the world. In fact, I look at all of my clients' strategic plans. Some of them could literally are like they're interchangeable. Mm-hmm. You could just change their names and they're interchangeable, yet vastly different results. Mm-hmm. Well, what's the difference? It's the people. So you have to have the people doing the work. I want to work with the people doing the work. I respect you greatly. I respect your board chair greatly. But guess what? You're not the ones that are just so involved in the work day to day. And so by bringing your whole team together, it went from just, okay, this is something that we're going to do. Yes, it was a mindset shift. It also becomes a culture shift.
Yes.
If you let it. Yeah. And you did, and you embraced that.
Yeah. Well, we have to stay on it too, because we can always go back to our old habits. And so I am reminded of staying in front of it and keeping our conversation at the forefront of what we're looking for. And I think one of the key differentiators here is the distinction between outputs and outcomes. And you kind of alluded to that when Hal was challenging you. You've now spoken at the Consortium of Florida Education Foundations. You've spoken at Leadership Florida. You've facilitated these trainings. What would you say to our listeners about the key difference between outputs and outcomes?
It's the so what. You could have people in your program. You can have people showing up. You can even have people completing your program, 8 sessions, 12 sessions, a whole year, and absolutely achieve nothing.
That sounds so.
But it happens. And we know it happens. And you know why it happens. And this is a very appropriate example for this audience. Let's talk about grade level reading. In Florida, we have a crisis. 50% of students in Florida cannot read at grade level. Yet, there is no shortage of grade level reading programs. None. In any community, anywhere, especially here. So why do we still have half of our students unable to read on grade level? Well, let me share output, outcome, or in our world, it is activity versus result.
Yes.
A lot of organizations say 95% of our students show improved literacy skills. Great. So Johnny now is only 4 years behind instead of 5 years behind. And we're going to celebrate that.
He's still on level two.
Still cannot read. Okay. Still is not going to be able to, if this trajectory continues, will not be able to be a high functioning adult that can reach his full potential. Okay. When we look at our results and stop saying how many improved and really focus on, but how many got to grade level, that is a game changer. Now, what it means is that 90 or 95% success rate that you were celebrating all of a sudden took a nosedive. That is where our responsibility comes in. We need to know how many people are we getting to grade level reading. If you are an organization and you are providing financial literacy training for families, I want to know how many of those families were at the poverty level and now they're not. How many of those families were considered ALICE families, asset limited, income constrained, and unemployed? How many of them now have moved outside of the ALICE level because of your program? So the biggest difference between outputs, outcomes, or activities versus results is really knowing the difference your program made, not just celebrating that people showed up.
That was very well stated. So when you look at all the various sectors that you have facilitated training with, you know, like I said, the Consortium of Florida Education Foundations, or when you spoke at Leadership Florida, and I believe you even spoke to the Connect class, and this year you're going to be speaking to the Education class. What are you seeing, if anything, amongst the different sectors?
That is a really good question. So I will say this. One of the biggest challenges I see, and for the investors listening, and that's my word for donors, funders, et cetera, for the investors listening, a lot of this is for you. You know, I mentioned poverty. Poverty is generational often, okay? Abuse, generational. Lack of education, generational. Trauma, generational. These are really, really hard problems to solve. And the organizations trying to solve them have this huge burden on them to show these results. And they feel that they have to have these really high success rates. because somebody is saying that 80 or 90% over here got to success. Well, that success may be that the person came two times and completed a questionnaire. We have organizations that are anti-human trafficking. I mean, you're talking about really challenging missions to achieve. They are very concerned often about what it means to show their results, because the actual result, if we're really going deep, if we're holding ourselves to a whole different standard. So if we're saying last year we had 25 families in our program, all of them were at the poverty level. This year, now five of those families are not at the poverty level. Now that's a 20% success rate. Guess what? That's a huge success rate of moving families out of poverty. However, 20%, there are people that look at that and think, gosh, that's awfully low. So one of the challenges I see is the community at large, I'll just say this, community at large is not in touch with some of the real challenges in our community. I know you see it, Jennifer. I know that you see. It's not just about education. You have kids in your programs that have to work, because their family needs the money. And so these kids are working, holding down a job, trying to prepare for college. And so we have really hard, hard challenges that are not going to have astronomically high success rates. And there is a fear that funders, investors do not understand it. And so I really feel that if investors start looking at what is the result. So when you're seeing an 80 or 90% success rate, what is the definition of that success? The reality is that definition may vary greatly from somebody that has a much lower success rate or results rate, but that other organization is really producing something that's life-changing.
Yeah, which actually sounds a lot like a moonshot moment, because when you think about it, how many times are we sending people to the moon? We're not sending, you know, 100 rockets to the moon every day, but when we do, it is a miraculous. That is a result when we land someone on the move. Okay, this is not to be anything about, you know, did we ever do this or not, people? I just know that that could create some cynicism out there, but I'm just using that as an example. It's a moonshot moment. So when you actually are changing the lives of people who are once in poverty and then now not, or someone who was reading below grade level and now is, or is now above grade level, those are really strong results. So I agree with you. I concur. And I do think that that mindset needs to continue to ripple down into and throughout the community for the investors that are making our work come to life.
And I want to say that we have so many organizations in our community, across the state of Florida, across the country, that are making these life-changing differences. The thing is where are we setting the bar and the standard? This work is very personal for me, because if those teachers didn't say, hey, Robin, you may want to consider college, I may have never went to college,
right?
Because it wasn't even on my radar. It took an external third party that was not part of my family, that was my teacher, to point out my potential. And that is the role that nonprofit organizations and human service organizations play every single day. You're pointing out the potential. And that is critical. So what are we pointing to? We must be more intentional to point higher, knowing not everyone's going to get there. However, some will.
You are spot on that. I would say amen to that. So what advice, as we're coming kind of to the close of our podcast here, what advice would you give either to the Education Foundation or maybe another nonprofit of what we could potentially be doing differently or better?
So I'll say this for Education Foundation, for you, Jennifer, you mentioned this, that you have to be intentional in this work and there are reminders needed. This is such a mindset shift, and it requires practice, intentionality, and action. So it's exercise. You don't go to the gym once and get buff, right? You have to go repeatedly. You have to keep it up. It's the same thing. This is a methodology. If you are listening to this and you don't know anything about Results First, you've never worked with Results First, I would say the very first thing is define results for your organization. And so what it. And what I mean is define the results, not how many people completed, finished, attended, showed up, were reached, were touched, were served, all those lovely words. None of that. Get into What difference was made as a result of your organization? Define that. Define the wildest, craziest possibilities for the families that you are responsible for. Define those results. Now, if you have worked with us before, continue to work on your results journey and your results methodology. Continue to define success and track it and then verify it. And make sure when you're talking about your organizations that you are talking about the difference made, not just how many programs you offered last year.
Really good advice. That's wonderful. Is there anything, Robin, that I've not asked you about results first that you want to make sure we convey to the listeners today?
I just want to say, I'm always happy to have a conversation with anyone, any organization. And if the organization is ready to work with us and to take those steps, I will do everything I can to try to find resources for them to be able to work with us. I'm grateful for these nonprofits and so many of my clients. I have had the honor to work with clients who my family benefited from.
Yeah.
Greatly.
Yeah. So if someone wanted to reach out to you, how do they do that?
Yes, you can do that by going to resultsfirst.org. And so it's results, the number one, st.org. You can also find me on social media and Results First on social media. You can feel free to follow me, Robin Fossey, RobynFaucy on Facebook or LinkedIn. And so any way you can get in touch with me, I'm always happy to have a conversation.
Man, that's awesome. You're definitely accessible. And so Robin, thank you for being on our podcast today. I hope that the listeners really enjoyed not just the differentiator and the distinction you made between activities and results, the outputs versus the outcomes, but how organizations really can own this to make a significant change and question what truly matters. I mean, I think you articulated it spot on today. So thank you so much for being on our podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And I just have to say, Jennifer, you having me come in and work with your team was the ultimate full circle for me. So thank you so much.
Oh my gosh. And listeners, I have to also let you know that Robin didn't show off all of her incredible humor. She is truly one of the funniest people I've also met. So you do need to follow her on social media and you'll see that for sure. But everyone, so appreciate y'all joining us on today's podcast. And remember, if you want to learn more about the Education Foundation, you can find us at edfoundationsrq.org. And then you can also listen to any of our podcasts wherever you like to listen. So everyone, this is Jennifer Vine signing off for the Education Foundation of Sarasota County.